Morning.
We're going to go ahead and get started. I know got some might be running a little bit late and everything like that, but we want to welcome you in the name of the Lord. Thank you for coming and being with us this morning. We want to thank you for coming out this morning. I want to, they say you can't teach an old dog new tricks, but I got to be honest with you. I learned something. I believe it was by accident. Miss Wheatley, you care to shut that door when you come through, honey? You care to shut that, sweetie? Thank you so much. But they say you can't teach an old dog new tricks, but for years and years and years, growing up, my mom, when she bought pants for me, as a kid growing up, I was always the kid that had to wear the Huskies. You know, that's their way of saying you're not chubby, you're husky. You know, that being said, that was what it was called when I was a kid, husky. Then you get to the points of relaxed fit and boot cut. Took me a while to figure that one out. Thought I was relaxed fit. But thanks to a boo-boo on my purchase, I am an athletic fit from Wrangler. And I want to thankful for that. It may not mean much to you, but it's pretty big to me. For the first time in years, I feel like I got pants that fit correctly. So I'm thankful for that this morning. Feels good and all that. Feel real good. Big deal for me. May not be a big deal for you, but if you have never heard of that man, that might be your route to go to. But this morning we want to talk. We want to continue on the series, Lord willing, about what the Lord gave me. We're going to talk about where we are and where we're going, things of that nature. As you recall, I shared the vision that the Lord gave me last Sunday about the three part, and we talked about last Sunday. We talked about the technology part of it, that being very important, the technology part of it, because that's where we're at today. As Daniel said, knowledge shall increase and things like that. So that's where we're at. Knowledge is increasing dramatically. We brought up several topics, several subjects. I remember being a kid growing up and, technology not being what it is today, but here we are now. Technology is everything. Knowledge is power. I've heard that said even when I was in school. They were trying to encourage you to graduate and maybe further your education, Terry. They would say knowledge is power. I remember that very much. So that being said, that is part of it. That is part of, I guess what you say, that has gotten people ahead, so to speak, in this technology world today. So that's what we talked about last week. This week we're going to talk about the second part of it, which is the persecution. We're going to talk about a couple different ways of persecution, actually, because in the vision, as you recall, I shared how the military-type men were inspecting every vehicle, and they were looking for certain things, and there was a fear that I felt for those individuals, Terry, and I realized real quick it was those people that were carrying the Word of God. Those were Christians, and as we start out this morning, we know persecution still exists. We know persecution will continue to exist until the Lord comes back, Brother Joe. Persecution is the systematic and deliberate mistreatment, oppression, or harassment of an individual or group. So I think we seem like for some reason we're secluded from that in today's world here in the United States of America as far as persecutions in certain ways, talking about physical persecution. But most people probably do not realize this. In countries like China, North Korea, Pakistan, Afghanistan, and Nigeria, there are serious laws against being a Christian and practicing your faith. There are stories, many stories from missions in China, for example, that the Chinese, my question real quick here, just because we're going to get into this. How many people have more than one Bible in their house? Raise your hand. I don't care if it's a small Bible, big Bible, whatever. How many people have more than three or four? Okay. You know what they have in China? They don't have a Bible. They have pieces and pages of a Bible. And they pass it back and forth. Pieces and pages of a Bible that they pass back and forth. And, Ray, they memorize it. Because if the government comes in and raids the house, so to speak, if you will, and all of a sudden finds that Bible page, then you're in trouble. But Pearl, if I memorize it, I can pass it along, and it's here, and it's here. So there is persecution going on in the world today. North Korea is one of the biggest as well. In most Muslim countries, whether you know this or not, it is flat out against the law to be anything other than a Muslim. It's amazing how some people want to protect certain things. Some individuals want to promote freedom of this and freedom of that, but certain religions do not want to allow that. Matter of fact, they will cut your head off if you are anything other than what they agree with. So persecution is very real. Some of you may recall several years ago, there was Christians, if I remember correctly, there was a video released of Christians that were on a beach, and they were made to bow, and they lost their lives because they would not recant their Christianity, and they cut their heads off, that video. So persecution is still happening around the world. We may not see it physically as much in this country, but make no mistake about it, it is happening, and it will continue until Jesus comes back. And I mean the Lord of Lords and King of Kings. Sure. Sure, yeah. I got you. Yeah. Sure. Absolutely. Well, we probably forget. Well, communism is atheism. Most people sort of forget that with the Soviet Union. They don't believe really in a God, because if you become passionate about anything other than the state or the government, that poses a threat to communists. You know what I mean? So they kind of pushed that issue, as the Soviet Union did when we were growing up. But yeah, it's still happening today. How many of you also know that there's also other ways of persecution, not just physical persecution, if you will? And we're going to talk about some of those things. There's certain things like in our society today, in our country today, and we'll get into several different ones of these as we go on today. But in our country today, you're persecuted, or you're thought that you're hateful or hate-filled if you don't believe a certain thing. That is persecution. You don't believe in that. You don't think somebody should be able to love who they want to love, and whatever it is, what the situation is, when all you're doing is standing on what the Scripture says. Some people will call that intolerant. And you will become labeled as hate-filled individuals. And Pearl, that's persecution. That's the adversary trying to manipulate, try to persecute Christians for what the Word of God says. Can I tell you what manipulation is? It's satanic influence. Manipulation is satanic influence, plain and simple. If you know people that try to manipulate you, perhaps, if you have friends, neighbors, workmates that try to manipulate you, that's going behind your back saying things, but to your face they look a certain way, that's persecution, that's satanic influence. That's manipulation, it's witchcraft, the Bible says. But it's things like that. How do I know persecution is going to continue? Preacher, do you have anything in the Bible? I sure do. We're going to go over a lot of things in the Bible today, a lot of scriptures. There's one specific one that goes along with the vision that I shared last week about the military and things of that nature, and how I know that it's going to continue even after the rapture of the church. It's going to continue, Terry. Persecution will continue until the King of Kings and Lord of Lords comes back and assumes control of this planet forcefully at the Battle of Armageddon. And it says in Revelation 6, verses 9 through 11, "And when he had opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar the souls of them that were slain for the word of God, for the testimonies which they held. They cried with a loud voice, saying, How long, O Lord, holy and true, dost thou not judge and avenge our blood on them that dwell on the earth? And white robes were given unto every one of them, and it was said unto them, They should rest yet for a little season, till their fellow servants also and their brethren that should be killed as they were should be fulfilled." So in other words, during the tribulation period, when the fifth seal is open after the rapture of the church takes place, this is really on the heels of the four horsemen of the apocalypse, if you will, as we talk about in Scripture, on the heels of that, mass persecution begins. And we know this is going to take place because the Bible says it's going to take place. But the Antichrist and all the powers that be, if you will, are going to rise to power. And anyone that does not accept that mark, anyone that does not follow them or worship him as God, will be physically persecuted until death. So those souls that lose their life during the tribulation period, that's those souls that are under the altar. So we know persecution continues even after the rapture of the church. How long, Lord? How long will you not avenge us? They lost their lives for the cause of the gospel during the tribulation period. But it says something I want to draw your attention to. And white robes were given unto them, and it was said unto them, they should rest for a little season. White robes are given. Okay, the robes is a stole or a long gown. So John sees these people, Terry, that lose their lives during the tribulation period in a white robe, a white flowing gown. In other words, they've won, Pearl. They've been made clean by the blood of the Lamb. Okay? They may not have been clean when he came back at the rapture, but they washed their robes white in the blood of the Lamb. Okay? They're there. But then in Revelation 3, and later on it repeats this again. I want to draw your attention here. He that overcometh, the same shall be clothed in white raiment. And I will not blot out his name in the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. So the message to the church in the book of Revelation is, he that overcometh, I'm going to give you white raiment. Okay? White raiment. It's a different Greek word than the robe. So there's a very big distinction between those that are raptured out. They get a raiment. It's a different garment. It's a white garment, but it is a different thing than those that are wearing the robes. Those are the ones that lose their lives in the tribulation period. And you could say, well, what's the point? What's the that John himself is seeing even a difference. He's making a difference in what he sees, or he would have used the same word. They was in the same garments. Those that were raptured and those that were persecuted till death after the rapture. No, they wasn't in the same garments. They were in different garments. So that tells me one thing. They looked different, Pearl, or he would have wrote it the same way. But that tells me persecution continues on after the rapture. There is a distinction that takes place. Persecution happens in many ways. Persecution is also being mocked. Anybody here ever been mocked for your belief? Have you? Anybody been made fun of? I'm going to use a terminology. Some of you today may be unfamiliar with this. Some of you older Church of God people will remember it well. Ah, she's one of them holy rollers. He's one of them holy rollers. That wasn't a term of endearment. They were mocking. They were persecuting with their words. Bible thumpers. There's another one. Someone that speaks the word boldly. That's one of them Bible thumpers. They're not saying that as a term of endearment to you. They're not. Don't forget that. That was a mocking way. That manipulating way. It wasn't a compliment. You see, what happens is, if you're walking in the darkness, you don't like life when it shows up. When the Holy Spirit moves upon someone, when the Word of God is spoken, that's light coming into a dark place. Persecution doesn't want that. Okay? The devil doesn't want that. You can lose friendships or rejection of family members because of your faith or your belief. That's a form of persecution. I know families that have hard times dealing with each other because of their beliefs. Persecution. Jesus said, I didn't come to bring, but division. Division even amongst family members. Jesus said it would happen in these days, and we're here. Discrimination can happen at school or even work. Persecution happens in those ways as well. I remember Jake, my oldest boy Jake, and some of you guys may remember the big revival that was taking place when they were in high school. Jesus is Better and Metanoia. Some of you guys may remember that. And I remember specifically, they had gathered around at Man High School to pray. There was a certain teacher that came and broke them up when they were gathered around on their time praying. I got to be honest with you, this is the only time, Vicki, that this old boy right here was about ready to head down to the high school. I was going to go to the Board of Education I had to or whatever, because I knew that their rights had been violated. They were on their time, not that during class time, and they chose to pray. And separation of church and state grants them that right. And I knew that that teacher was in the wrong. But before Teddy had to, the Board of Education president intervened and corrected the situation at Man High School and allowed the staff to know, you're wrong. But that is persecution. When someone tries to not let you pray or not permit you to pray, Brother Joe. And I think the older we get, when I say this, when we're faced with those situations, we should use godly wisdom. Without a doubt. You know what I mean? We need to always season everything with love. That's what Jesus done. Jesus gave the supreme thing. The older I get, the less tolerant I get of ignorance. I just got to be honest with you. And if my right to pray over my meal, I will absolutely pray over my meal. I don't care if the president's sitting next to me. He's going to hear me pray over my meal. I believe strongly in that. Like Brother Joe said, that's your store. You were playing that music. It's your right to play that music. Your choice whether you come in here and shop or not. But this is my store, and I'm going to play that music. And so that being said, whether you believe it or not, it is from the devil, and it is persecution. You may not look at it as, well, it's not like amounts to what's going on in China, but it's trying to manipulate us to not sharing the word of God or living out the gospel. Persecution is very real. Right. That's right. In my opinion, this is Teddy Dean's opinion, okay? I'm going to share this. You talk about music, and it offended him. Reminds me of David playing before Saul. And you see, Saul was tormented by the devil because he left God. And the anointing went from Saul to David. And the torment only stopped when David came and played for him. Can I be honest with you? I don't believe David was better than Roy Clark. I don't believe David was the greatest player known on this planet. What happened was when the Holy Spirit showed up with David, the devil had to leave. So when David would leave and Saul would be tormented again, it was because the presence of God is more powerful than the adversary. Why did Saul get peace when David played? It wasn't because he was the second coming of Roy Orbison. It would be the first coming. It was because the Holy Spirit of God rested on David, and where David was, the Holy Spirit was. And that's a lesson for each of us, that if you're willing to go out into the world and proclaim and boldly state the gospel, the Holy Spirit will accompany you. The adversary does not stand a chance. One of the things that can also happen, you can be stereotyped or judged because of your convictions. That's persecution. I'll give you an example. In our today's world, Teddy Dean will speak this. Other people are going to hear this. I've been asked this many times before, and my answer has not changed over the years. Well, preacher, you believe it's okay to drink a little bit of alcohol with your meal? Absolutely, I do not believe that. I don't believe it. Well, they did this in the Bible. I know that. Bible speaks against drunkenness. I know that. But also says, let not your good be evil spoken of. And if I, as a preacher, show up to witness to someone, visit someone in a hospital, leave and go to a beer place, and someone sees me, how effective is my witness? How effective is your witness? You can be persecuted then by, I mean, you're just no fuddy-dud. You're one of them old ones that just don't believe you can have any fun. No, I believe you can have fun. I believe you can have fun without alcohol. Proverbs tells us that alcohol is a bad, bad thing. Okay? Proverbs alters our thoughts, alters our moods. God don't want us to put anything before Him. My happiness does not revolve around alcohol. My happiness revolves around Jesus and the relationship I have with Him. That is just one example of persecution. You can be stereotyped as one of those Bible thumpers. I've even had Christians come up and ask me that. You believe you can do it just a little bit with your? No, I don't believe that, brother. And I'll share it with them. Can I be honest with you? A lot of times I think they were looking to me to validate what they were wanting to do or already was doing. I'm not backing down from that, Ray. Plus, you don't know the demons that hide in the closet in an individual's life or family, that one drink leads to another, to another, to another. And in their family, their dad or their grandpa was a bad alcoholic. You don't know those things. The Spirit of God does. Persecution comes in many ways. You're considered harsh or too old school, or you need to lighten up. All ways from the adversary to manipulate and persecute the Christian. The government could even do it too. How does government persecute? I don't have to think very long or hard about this one. COVID. It's okay to go to Walmart. Don't come to church. Amazing how that works when money's involved and the government's getting it. Persecution can happen from the government as well, and it will in the last days, as the vision I shared with you. Years ago, there was early pioneers in the Church of God. Any of you guys want to have a read? A great read, but a long read. Like a Mighty Army is a great read, but it is a long read. It tells the history of the Church of God. Persecution from the early believers, people that began to do things and operate in the Spirit, right? Other Christians, once holiness churches sprouted out, Church of God churches sprouted, other Christians that didn't agree with what they were doing or believe what they believed, instead of burning the church down, would disassemble the church, because it was not right to burn a church, but they would disassemble the church and then burn it. What sense does that make? That was persecution. They were being persecuted for what they were doing and how they were operating and what they believed and how God was moving. We're not that far removed, folks. It's less than 100 years ago that was done in this country, in this region. Persecution's real. How do I know it's going to continue? The Bible says it, as I read to you in the book of Revelation. And I'm telling you before God today, as I stand before you, the vision that I have, I know it's true. I don't have to ask nobody. When you know by the Spirit, and I know it's coming. Persecution is coming. We need to be ready. We need to have our tickets punched, as the old timers would say. When the Lord comes back, let's go up in the first boat out of here. Amen? We don't know what's going to continue until He comes. Amen? But I do know what's going to happen after the rapture, as we read to you this morning. But also, persecution happens in many ways, as we know. So what do we do about persecution? What do we do now? Jesus said in Matthew chapter 5, verse 10, "Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." Persecution's hard. Not easy. Persecution's tough. Persecution can cost someone their lives, can hurt your feelings, and split a family. Persecution can cost you a job, whether you know it or not. Persecution can make you an outcast among friends. You know what Jesus said? "Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. So in other words, we've got an important job. And along with this important job comes a responsibility. But you know what? This job has the best retirement plan you're ever going to know. For theirs is the kingdom of heaven, Brother Ray. We don't talk about heaven like we used to. That's one thing I'll say. We don't talk about hell as much as we used to either, but we don't talk about heaven as much as we used to. I don't know about you guys, but I've been to some beautiful places, and I know Brother Dave's wife, Teresa, is at the beach right now, and I've seen some of the nice, pretty pictures she's already put on there. It makes you a little bit jealous. But there's a lot of pretty places on this planet, whether it's the beach or the mountains or just maybe off your back porch drinking a cup of coffee. I don't know. But you have your own little beautiful place on this planet. And God has given us that. And we thank God for that. But can I tell you, of all the beauties that you have seen, eye has not seen, ear heard, nor has it entered the heart of man what God has in store for those that love Him. Heaven is going to be pretty nice. Heaven's going to be special. It's going to be beautiful. It's going to be perfect. I woke up this morning at 5-something a.m. You know what got me out of bed, Ike? It wasn't that I couldn't sleep that good. It's that my knees were hurting. My knees were hurting, and that got me up. And you know what? When we get over there, Brother Terry, my knees ain't going to hurt me no more. If you're wearing eyeglasses here this morning, you ain't going to need that over there. Think about it. Arthritis, Cheryl, be gone. Be gone. You know what ain't in heaven? Dewey, there ain't a wrinkle in heaven. Think about that. There's no stress, no worry. There's going to be a reunion that takes place. It's going to be amazing. I've got a wild bunch of family members. I know our section will be pretty loud during the reunion. I'm sure a lot of y'all's will too. It's going to be a great place. And Jesus said, blessed are those that are persecuted for righteousness' sake, because yours is the kingdom of heaven. So whatever we go through here can't even compare to the glory that's going to be revealed in us. Okay? Take heart. Take pleasure in persecution. It's hard when you're going through it. But when you get away to yourself and you go to the Lord in prayer and you start weeping and crying to God, take heed, be happy, for so persecuted they the prophets that were before you. And can I tell you something like this? If you're persecuted, and God knows if you are, God knows if they're trying to manipulate, God knows if they're doing this on purpose, if they're behind it, God will comfort you. And He'll work on your behalf. Many a times He's told me, Vicky, stand still. Stand still and you'll see the salvation of the Lord. We can't take it on ourselves. When we're persecuted, we do those things. Guess what? We fought the own battle. We wouldn't give it to God to fight for us. But stand still and see the glory of the Lord. Jesus goes on in John 15 and goes into pretty good detail about persecution. He says in verse 18, if the world hate you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love his own, but because you're not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. So can I tell you something? They don't hate Joe Chapman. They hate who's inside Joe Chapman. That's Jesus. Because Jesus is inside of Joe Chapman and he plays that music, that's what rubs them the wrong way, because they don't follow Jesus. Can I tell you something right now? Holy Spirit aggravates demons, don't it? It's the truth. You don't think they take notice? Amen? You don't think they take notice? You remember when Jesus is up on the Mount of Transfiguration? Peter, James, and John? And they come back down and the disciples couldn't cast out that demon in that child? And you know what I'm talking about. And Jesus gives them a lesson. This comes out by prayer and fasting and kind of faith and all those things. But can I tell you something right now? Even though the demon was emboldened because the other nine couldn't do anything, when he saw the one walking down the mountain, he knew what was coming. Amen? You remember the man of Gadara? Tormented by spirits. He was tormented by evil spirits. He was cutting himself. They couldn't even put him in chains. He'd ripped the chains off. He was living among the graveyard, among the tombs. And the Bible said when Jesus, Bobby, steps off the boat, he runs to worship him. Because even in that state, the demons know who he is. Jesus said, I beheld Satan fall as lightning. Can I tell you something? He watched him fall as lightning then, and guess what? One day they're going to bow to him and confess that he is King of kings and Lord of lords to the glory of the Father. Any persecution has a demonic force behind it. You're like, man, you're getting deep this morning. I am, because this is real. This is very real. This is still going on. People are still being oppressed and possessed by the devil. And it takes the power of the Holy Spirit to break that. The relationship with Jesus Christ that'll heal them. And can I tell you this? The devil don't want you to take that to them. So he's going to try to hamper you from getting to where you need to be. For obedience is so important. Why is obedience better than sacrifice? Because you ain't got anything that's worth sacrificing that's bigger than that person's soul. What's it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his soul? So when God puts something on your heart to go do, to speak, to share, to witness at the grocery store, it's the most important job you got at that moment. Why? Because God has ordained it. Persecution is very real. Jesus goes on and says, he says, they don't hate you like they hate me. That's what he said. He makes it plain. Politicians, those that don't follow Jesus, those that when you ask them a question, answer you with a question and never an answer. You ever notice that? Talk around the point. Because they don't want to ever have to go on record giving an answer or an account for something. They're trying to please both sides. Can I tell you something right now? The biggest side we better be willing to please is Jesus. Because everything's being wrote down. Did you know that? Persecution's real. What we do, how we stand, whether we speak or whether we do not speak, that matters. We are in the last days. Sons and daughters shall prophesy because we are in the last days. It goes on and says, remember the word that I said unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord. If they have persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they have kept my saying, they will keep yours also. So, see, before I just leave that verse there, we've read that probably for years. If they persecuted me, they're going to persecute you. But he says something else. If they kept my word, they'll keep yours also. That's two classes of people. That's those that persecute, and that's those that listened and done what he said to do. That's why it's so important that when the Lord gives you something to do, you go do it. Because there are some people that's going to hear the word and keep it. Some may persecute. There's going to be some pearl that grab the word and keep it. And that's why you got to continually share it. That's what persecution's about, trying to muffle the gospel, trying to slow your growth down, try to take away the power that God has put inside of you, to take away the confidence that God has put inside of you, because he's coming back and people need to hear the word and the gospel needs to be preached. Persecution is to limit that. It's to silence it. It's to put a muzzle on a loud voice. John the Baptist went through persecution. Did he shut up? No, he went into the backside of the desert. When the religious establishment came to him, he preached it hard and strong. We ain't at the temple now. You're on my grounds, folks. Oh, ye generation of vipers, repent. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And Jesus goes on and says, but all these things will they do unto you for my name's sake, because they know not him that sent me. If anybody ever tells you there's more than one way to God in this world we live in, they are lying to you. Do not give God speed. If someone comes to your home and offers another word or another scripture other than the one I have given you, the Bible says, in one of John's epistles, don't bid him Godspeed, because the devil's going to try to manipulate and confuse you. That's the whole point and whole purpose of it. Matter of fact, Paul even said that if anyone comes preaching any other word than I have preached to you, whether it be an angel of light, let him be accursed. That's what Paul said. In 600 AD, 600 something AD, there was a man. Paul prophesied, by the way. There was a man in 600 something AD that said he was in a cave. An angel of light came and showed him a better way and the correct way to God. His name is Muhammad, and that's how Islam was formed. Coincidence? Paul said, if anybody comes preaching any other gospel than the one I've preached to, even if it's an angel of light, let him be accursed. I ain't making it up as Hatefield, folks. I'm telling you the truth. Look it up. Google it. ChatGPT it. Whatever you want to do. But I'm telling you, the devil is slick. If he can confuse you, if he can cause chaos in your life, that's what he's going to do. But Jesus said, if you know me, you know the Father. Okay? The only way to the Father is through the Son. They don't have separate names. We don't serve the same God. Just because we call this religion calls it that, this religion calls it that, we all serve the same God. No, you do not. That's a big lie. Don't accept that. Persecution comes to those that follow Jesus. Why? Because the devil knows the truth, and he knows what the counterfeit is. It's pretty harsh today. It's because it's real. It's because it's needed. It's because it's necessary. It's so that we can be prepared. God loves us. Here's the big thing about persecution. He said, blessed are those that are persecuted, for the kingdom of heaven is yours. If you're going to walk this path any at all, you're going to suffer some persecution here or there. I promise you that. Can I tell you something? Old saint of God told me one time, if a devil's bothering you, son, it's because he ain't got it. I thank God for that bit of advice from that old saint of God that's now resting from all her worries and enjoying being in the presence of the Lord. It goes on, it says, if I had not come and spoken unto them, they had not had sin, but now they have no cloak for their sin. He that hateth me hates my Father also. Jesus' words. If I had not done among them the works which none other man did, they had not had sin. But now have they both seen and hated me, both me and my Father. So another Jesus said, not only did I come preaching to them, but I done miracles and they still wouldn't believe it. So in other words, I gave them undisputable evidence and they still would not receive it. Why? Because they do not love my Father and they do not love me. Okay? That's what he's saying. Persecution is very real in the world today. It can happen in many forms. It can happen through religions and denominations. It can happen through tradition. Tradition says you can't do this or you should do that. Where's that in the Bible? Show me. Someone tell Mary Magdalene, sit down. Don't share the message of the resurrection because you're a woman. Shut up and sit down. Just because it's your tradition doesn't mean it's in the Bible the way you want to feel it is. The Word of God is true. It's up to us to dive into it, take it in context, and rightly divide the Scripture. Tradition and denomination will not get you to heaven. A relationship with Jesus is what gets us there. Goes on and said, Jesus said in verse 6, chapter 16, he said, these things have I spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. In the world you'll have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. Persecution is of the world. Persecution is of the devil. We're living in his system. Okay? Ever since the fall in the garden, this is the system that the devil set up, okay? You remember when he came to Jesus and he offered him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment's time, if you bow down and worship me? And Jesus wouldn't do it, but he never called him out on it. Because it is Satan's to give. This world system, this structure, is not of God. God's plan was the Garden of Eden with Adam and Eve. Because man sinned, they done what they done. So the devil is the prince of the power of the air now. And one day he's going to give that power to a man that will come on the scene to be worshipped. And he'll install the mark of the beast and all those things. So it's his power to give. Okay? Make no mistake about it. That's what we're working. That's why we're being persecuted. That's why you're a Bible thumper or a holy roller. That's why they think there's many ways to God, and won't you just love everybody and let them live like they want to live? You can live like you want to live, but you got to answer for it. The Word of God. It's going to be here. It's going to stand right long after I'm gone. If I preach any other thing than what the Bible says, then I'm going to ain't give an answer for that. If you live any other way than the way the Bible says, you're going to give an answer for that. Persecution is real. But do we have a hope? Do we have a chance? We'll finally wrap this up. So does this mean we have no hope? Romans 8, 33 through 39 says this. Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifies. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again. Who is even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us? Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we have more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Jesus Christ our Lord. Where's our hope? In Jesus Christ our Lord. I am persuaded that nothing can separate me. How am I persuaded, Brother Ray? Because the day I gave my life to him and knelt on my knees at the old-fashioned altar, I didn't just ask him to be my Savior. I asked him to be my Lord. And when I did that, he come in and lives with me. He's inside of me. He gave me the blessed seal, promise of the Holy Spirit, so that when I get out of line, I don't have to memorize a law, a tradition, or a denomination. The Holy Spirit of God that lives here, that's wrote in the Word of God on my heart, he'll let me know. You need to get back in line, boy. You need to follow the statutes that I've given you. Know this, persecution is coming, but I will promise you this, it don't compare to heaven. For I am persuaded that neither height nor depth, nothing, Pearl, can separate me from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. Nothing at all. It does not matter what other people believe. It matters what thus saith the Lord. Persecution is going to come. You're going to have it. Trials are going to come. Temptation.